Lord bless you this evening. I've got two or three more prayer requests. Brother Homer Frazier, this is Brother Ron Spencer's father-in-law, has had to have a major surgery yesterday, and they've got him in ICU right now. And I told him we'd pray for him tonight at the service. And then also Brother Lloyd, my brother, has badly bruised ribs and abdominal bruising, and he's having a really rough time to even speak. If you ever had any broken ribs or bruised ribs, you know what I'm talking about. And then also I want God to help me fight a cold I have. That's from Paul Obadari. Amen. God's a healer. I know you've already had prayer, but let's just pray one more time. God knows what's in your heart. Heavenly Father, these men, my little buddy Paul, Lord, each one of us have situations to deal with. Lord, as Brother Frazier's there in the hospital in a severe need of what's happening to him, I pray you'll send your angels to him, Lord, and touch his body. Let your will be done, God. Help Brother Lloyd tonight as he ministers the word, Lord, with those bruised up ribs and abdomen. Lord, give him strength to overcome, Lord. Our precious little brother Paul, may you touch him tonight, Lord, with this cold that he's dealing with. Lord, may you help him to get strength from it, Lord, and to walk with him. Lord, may you bless each one that's here tonight, Lord, that has a need in their heart. Meet with them and answer it, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. While you're standing, if you would take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 24. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 24. Lord willing, on Sunday, Brother Samuel Taylor from Ghana will be with us ministering Sunday. So just pray for that service Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. I'd like to speak a little bit tonight about the connection by revelation. It takes God to do that. We can talk about the Bible, we can talk about the message, but it's got to take God to reveal himself to you. And when that happens, there is no demon can stop you from making it through. Amen. Let's just pray first. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of life. And Lord, I pray that you would open it to us tonight. Lord, may the revelation of your word speak to our souls. Lord, give us the strength that we need. We're in a day when the battles are raging on every side. But Lord, we know that we put our trust in you because you gave us the holy word of God. There's none other like this word that we have tonight, Father. May you lead us and guide us in all truth and righteousness, we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. How many sons of Abraham do we have? Amen. How about are you blessed in all things? Amen. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. In other words, don't go back. God brought me out of that place. Don't go back to that place. I'm only going to send you now. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. It's a blessing to know that God is in control of every one of our lives. If He knows about the gnat and how much tallow he has and how many times he blinks his eye, what does He know about you and me? He can understand the position you're in. He can understand the situation you're dealing with. But you've got to trust Him that He sent His angel before you. This message that's here before us in Genesis chapter 24, it's speaking about Abraham and how that Abraham is a type of God, the Father, hunting for a servant, for a bride for His son. He's looking for somebody to send to get a bride for his wife, for his son to be a wife. And we're looking at the situation, and you know, I was looking at the scripture, and as I read through the whole part of this scripture and back and forth, it dawned on me today, and maybe y'all have already noticed it before, Eliezer's name is never mentioned one time in Genesis chapter 24, not once. It only calls him servant. How many knows that? It only calls him servant. And so as a servant of God, it's not to get your name put out there, but it's to get God put out there. Everything that Eliezer was doing was for the master. And as I was searching through the message and different things, and Brother Brandon preached the message, the time of decision, and how that he projected how that Eliezer was looking to bring forth the glory of his master to the bride he was searching for. And Brother Branham, I can say that he did the same thing. He was looking to the glory of God to go and get a bride for Isaac, Jesus Christ, and bring her to the knowledge of the truth that the master had already given the messenger. Amen. And that messenger is here today speaking on the tapes, the CDs, or whatever way you want to put it. And God is allowing that voice to ring out to the people of God. And God is now energizing a group of people who have never met the messenger, but they met the message that he brought. Many people look at the message and the messenger and they try to separate them. You cannot do it. God brought this message by one man, and that one man brought that message because God ordained him to do that. So you can't separate the message and the messenger away from that. You've got to stay with the Word of God and follow this whole thing. When I noticed that his name was never written there, Brother Branham would often tell us, it's not me, it's I'm standing near when he comes. He's standing there and giving us, thus saith the Lord. What was he doing? He was giving what the master had told him to give. When he come along, he said, you know, just as Moses did, he said, how will I know? He said, I'll give you two signs, remember? So God did that for Brother Branham. He gave him the two signs, and then he went forward. What was he doing? He was obeying the voice of God through an angel messenger that spoke direct to him. Abraham was determined that he would not want his son to marry an unbeliever. You know that? He was determined that his son would not marry an unbeliever. So what was he doing? He gave his servant, and Brother Rand said, that would be a good decision for Christians today who are sons and daughters of Abraham to make sure that the same decision about their children. Now, if it don't make any difference how pretty those unbelieving girls are or were and how nice a woman they were, but Abraham did not want his son connected with that kind of stuff. Abraham knew that where he was not good quality for his son. Okay? Stay with me now. I'm not going to preach long, but I want you to get the point. He wanted you to make sure that you don't go messing with the wrong kind of stuff. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. But Abraham did not want his son connected with that kind of stuff. What kind of stuff? All the unbelief, all the nonsense of the world. Abraham wanted to make sure that his son was marrying a woman that was coming from a place that had the same understanding that he had. And remember now, Abraham met God back in his country, and God told him to get out. I'm going to show you a different place to live. But Abraham knew that back in his homeland, that under his kinship, that he had some relatives there, and he'd been gone for a long time now. And so he, by faith, God tells him to go back and get a wife for Isaac back in the homeland, because he don't want him fooling with the stuff in the world where he is. Brothers and sisters, young people, God don't want you messing with stuff in this world system. Because the world does it, doesn't mean it's right for us. Listen, this is in my notes somewhere. I wrote it down. There's many times, now we say we want our children to come to church. We want to marry believers. But let me tell you something. Everybody sitting in church is not full believers. Amen. I'm going to put a little pinch on there right now. Everybody sitting in church, because you hear us preach, doesn't mean they have a revelation or they got the Holy Ghost because of the behavior and the actions they take. So even though you see a brother or sister in the church, you really need to get to know them, and don't make them try to make a promise to you before it's the right time. You girls should talk to your fathers. The father should talk to the pastor, because the pastor might know something about a character, or he may know somebody that knows somebody that knows something about the character. Right? I see the boy smiling back there, the young man. You need to know who you're going to get married to. You got to know who's connecting to you. Listen, when I was a young man, now, I don't advise this. Okay, I don't advise this. But when I saw my wife at the age of 13, that's the one I thought I should marry. Pretty young. And I was all of 17. Now, at the age of 17 and 13, you don't know a whole lot. Sorry, I just stepped on your feelings. You don't know a whole lot. I didn't know a whole lot. I could have had a lot more teaching than what I had. Back in that time, we did not fully know the message. We were just coming into it. We didn't know a lot about the message. So therefore, I did several things that was not good. It was wrong. Such as, I kissed my wife before we ever got married, more than once. You know what happens? It causes something to happen inside of you. And if you're not careful, that something that happens inside of you will cause you to go places you're not supposed to go. Everybody's afraid to say amen just now. The reason you get twisted around is because you don't pay attention. Now, here's the difference for what God did for me. I saw in her that she loved the Lord and she wanted to serve the Lord. In myself, I knew from a child I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to be right with God. But yet in my flesh, it's not born again. Your flesh is not born again. I didn't know I was going to preach this like this, okay? It's not in my notes. Your flesh is not born again. Young people, listen to me. When the devil comes around with a smooth-talking voice, he will cause you to make a mistake so fast, you'll regret it the rest of your life if you're not careful. Especially to the young girls, when the young men, young boys start talking to you and they start saying things that make you feel good, be careful. Because when they start talking in that way, there's something in the emotion of a girl. She starts going in a direction thinking, he likes me. He loves me. He wants to marry me. You say, don't go that fast. It goes that fast. Young people, let me tell you something. My message is getting way off here now. If I get to it, I'll get to it. If not, I'll come back next Wednesday and finish. But here you are, you young people, from the teenage years, from these, how old are you, Paul?
11.
How old are you? 11. 11, 12, 13, 14, things starts happening in the body. These boys start getting, they used to think these girls, oh, they got cooties. That's what we used to call it. They got bugs. They got problems. Anybody else ever heard that in America? Yeah, most of the Americans have heard it. And they got bugs. But all about 12 or 13, something happens to these people and they start saying, hey, I like the way she looks. I hear Paul laughing now. Something starts happening to them, and those girls where they once thought were, ooh, is wow. Remember, young people, I was a teenager once. Okay? Just because I'm getting ready to hit 60 don't mean I forgot. And when the devil knows that these things are happening in your life and in your body, he starts trying to take what God put in there naturally and tries to pervert that. Don't let him do it before you get married. Don't let the devil take your virginity away from you before you get married. You say, Brother Mike, you're talking very plain tonight. The school people are talking worse than what I'm saying right now. The school system is teaching you a lot of bad things right now, so just bear with me. And if you don't like it, you can plug your ears or go out of the door. The enemy is against you right now. You come to church, you look good, you look great to the people around you, but when you go out the door, the devil likes the way you look too. The devil admires the fact that you are pure. But he also wants the desire to bring that purity down. I got some teachers in here, I think, and some professors or college people or whoever we got here. They can tell you things happen on the campus and at school that ought not to be happening. The devil's going to make sure. Abraham said, I don't want my son marrying into this kind of stuff. We're not against you getting married. Believe me, we want you to get married, but at the right time. But don't sell yourself out because some pretty girl walked by and said, hey, hey, good looking. They may not say it like that. They may just turn their head a little bit and just kind of capture you. The Bible says that those fluttering eyes, they're deceitful. And they'll take you on a road you don't want to go on. And these young men, when they start talking real nice to you, sister, you better start backing away. Even though you might like the guy, back away. Say, you might be saying a few things I shouldn't be hearing right now. When you're that early in life and you're that age, you shouldn't be talking about it. You know how old Isaac was? I should just say that. 40. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. Isaac was only 40 years old. Did you think of that? Listen, young people. Why am I preaching this? Because the devil's after a lot of you right now. Situations you're dealing with at school. Now, thank God for some of them get to homeschool and you don't have the same problems. But a lot of our young people are in school and the world does not care. They're passing laws left and right to let the men go in the women's bathroom and the women go in the men's bathroom or even the locker rooms now. The enemy does not care anymore. He doesn't have any morality left. We're at the end time, young people. And listen, because your mom and dad is strict on you and hard on you, it's not because they hate you. They are trying their best to protect you. They don't want you. Some people have fallen through the years. They don't want you to fall like they fell. They don't want you to get into a trap like they got into a trap. They want you to understand that if you can keep yourself until the time. Abraham wanted to make sure that his son was kept until the right time. I don't know how old Rebecca was. And when Eliezer went to get to find a bride for Isaac, he went and he asked this question. He said, you know, what if she don't want to come with me? So that tells me that she must have been of age. Okay, he didn't go pick a little girl. He picked somebody that was able to make a decision. And when you can make that decision, God will show you how to make the right decision. You say, well, how will I know? I just know that God will let you. And you know, we need to make sure that when Eliezer, when Abraham was going to send somebody, he was going to pick a servant, okay? He started looking over all of his servants. When he looked over all of his servants, where did he come back to? Brother Branham said he looked at all of his servants. But he came back to Eliezer. You know why he came back to Eliezer? Now, he had a lot of servants. There's a lot of Christians today. But God picks certain ones at times to do certain things. He looked at Eliezer, and he chose that Eliezer was the one that he was the most trusted. He had control of everything that Abraham had. And he was an honest man. In every way, he had the integrity that when Abraham sent Eliezer, he had nothing to fear. Because before he would even swear to Abraham, he said, peradventure, she won't come. And this is what I like. Abraham standing there, because God's already dealt with his heart, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to release you of the oath in this way. He said, but here's what's going to happen. God will send his angel before you. And if she rejects the angel, then you're not required anything. So Eliezer now, because he gets, thus saith the Lord, from the Lord God himself, let's call Abraham the Lord God, and Eliezer being the messenger, places his hand under his thigh. He said, because you said so, I will go exactly that way and wait upon the Lord. That's what a true servant of God will do. When he doesn't know exactly what to do, he waits on the Lord, and the Lord tells him what to do. And not only that, the Lord shows him where to go to do it. I didn't just come to Northern Virginia. I waited on the Lord, and he showed me exactly where to go. Brothers and sisters, that's why I can preach this message, because when God tells you something, he puts the amen on it himself. He doesn't wait for everybody else. He puts the amen himself. When he puts the amen, the devil can't do anything with you. That's why Brother Branham can say, when you serve the Lord, the devil can't do nothing with you. When you really serve the Lord. God looking for men today that will move when the Spirit moves. Anywhere that he may send, that's the model servant. He said some of them gets their idea that they should go get money. Eliezer confronted a great problem, a great decision. There was a whole lot of women he could choose from. The choice was urgent. He was on a mission. He was on a mission because he was told, this is what you're going for. You need to know what your purpose is today. That purpose today is to know that you serve God and that you're going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Remember, the servant was not getting a bride for himself. He was getting the bride for the Son. You with me so far? This servant of God, what was he doing? He was looking. He was searching. He was praying. He was preaching. He was doing everything he could to get the bride for Isaac. And what did he do? He was led there under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The angel of God shall go before you. Hallelujah. Let me just read this. He said, then again, the servant wasn't satisfied here just going. He wanted some kind of an assurance. And he kept questioning. What if the woman won't come? Well, when I tell her these things, what if she doesn't come? Then what? Then he had to go make a decision. Then when he heard from his master's lips, listen, this is what you get. When he heard from the master's lips, the angel of God shall go before you. He said, oh, I just love that so much. He said, it just fits my case right here. The angel of the Lord shall go before you, and he will persuade her. Hallelujah. Brother Branham did not have to persuade us. God was speaking through his servant. All he was telling him to do is, you tell them, thus saith the Lord, and if the seed of God's in you, the angel of the Lord reveal himself to you, and you say amen to the word of God. When God is speaking from the prophet's message, it's not Brother Branham preaching. It's the Holy Spirit of God speaking out to the bride. When you recognize the voice of God in the man, you understand it was not just a man. It was the Holy Ghost of God preaching to the bride of Jesus Christ. And she said, that sounds like the word that I want to hear. That sounds like the bridegroom that I want to meet. That's the one I want to serve, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham just kept pointing us to the master. He said, and I, you preach the word, and I will persuade them. Why are you here tonight? Who persuaded you? Was it the power of God, the Holy Ghost? You let the Holy Ghost work in your life. When you heard the voice, was it God spoke to your heart? Was it God revealed himself? We not make nobody believe this message. You're here because of your own free will. And if you don't like the message and you don't like the prophet, there's the door. You can go on out. God called us here because something about the Eliezer call was persuading a bride to come, because they heard something more than just a man. They heard the voice of the bridegroom saying, come up a little higher. I'm here to give you food in due season. People get it so crossed up. That angel knew exactly what he was doing. God, listen to what he said. He said, the angel of the Lord shall go before you, and he will persuade her. God sent his angel with his messenger. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham wasn't just walking all by himself. There was an angel of the Lord that was speaking, thus saith the Lord. And he said, what did Jesus say? I can do nothing except the Father shows me. Amen. Brother Branham didn't just go around saying, thus saith the Lord. Unless the Lord told him, he didn't say that. You've got to put your confidence in that God spoke something to him, and then he would say, thus saith the Lord. Brothers, you can take it to the heavenly bank. This message is online. And I'm not talking about your computer. Brother, this message is online on target with God's word. It does not miss a beat. Hallelujah. The devil does not know how to handle this message. God has done something in the end time. That only by the Holy Ghost, the connection by revelation, is the only way you're going to capture the message of the hour. Jesus Christ has to reveal this message to you. The messenger can say the word. The messenger can preach the word. But until the angel persuades you, you're going nowhere. God called me here 20-something years ago to preach this message, not just a little piece here and there, but he preached the whole thing. Brother, this church was built on the message of the hour, and that has not changed. The devil wants to say that we're a cult. Let him say what he wants. I'll die if they want me to be a cult or a Branhamite. I'll die being that. But let me tell you something. When God has opened the word to me and God revealed his word to me supernaturally, I don't care what the devils find wrong with the message. The message is 100% right as far as I can see, and anybody else has got a problem with it. I can't fix your problem. Only the revelation can do that. When the revelation speaks to your heart, all devils out of hell can't take this away from you. He said, God sent his angel with his messenger. God does that, you know. That's the way he does it. He sent Daniel, he sent others, and he sent an angel with them. So he every time does the same thing, for he's his way of speaking. God's spirit by his word will call you to this. God's Spirit by his word will call you to this. Nobody else can call you to this. Brother Branham couldn't even call you to this. You had to hear what the revelation was. He that hath an ear. John didn't just stop in Revelations there. It was all through the Bible. He that hath an ear, what? Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. These men were the voices of God through all seven church ages. These were the voice of God to each age. And when you accept the voice of the messenger, you've accepted God at the end time for you. Hallelujah. The connection by revelation only comes when you can understand what God did. What God did was bring us to a place of recognizing that if we are the bride, your mama can't tell you that. Your daddy can't tell you that. You got to get that. Hallelujah. I love the part when she came. And I remember when Brother Dioka was here and he said that part about when Eliezer was making his prayer. Hallelujah. You know what Brother Branham said? He said the angel went before him about 30 minutes. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes before we come here to preach, I pray the angels come before me. What's he going to do? He's going to begin to speak the Holy Ghost to you. He's going to say, I'm going to meet your need tonight. The Word of God is going to speak to you, and you're going to say amen to the Word of God, and God's going to release you of the demon that's holding you. You got to have that confidence that God knows your condition and what you're dealing with. Brothers, you got to believe that God knows that He's sending His angel before you, and when the Word comes, that's why you should come and pray. Amen. Brother, he was not holding back anything. He said, Eliezer, when he had the assurance that angel was going before him, then he could decide to go because he had something to back him up. Amen. You know why I'm preaching tonight? Because I got something to back me up. Amen. Amen. I've heard people talk about the gun, you know, and I'm not much with guns or scopes or all that, but we have a front sight and a hind sight. How many knows that? And you got to adjust those sights just right. The front sight might be the Bible, the back sight might be the message. But you got to somehow get them in focus that you see Jesus Christ right through the middle of the whole thing. It's the message of God revealing. And when Eliezer knew he had something backing him, the master said, the angel will go before you, and if she refuses to come, you're set free. Let me tell you something. When Brother Brandon preached the message of the hour, he didn't come to make nobody believe it. None of you have ever met him. But we heard the voice. And something about the voice, speaking from the depths of his soul, it was Almighty God coming, delivering a bride into the hands of Jesus Christ. She said, yes, be it unto me according to thy word. He said he had something to back him up. I think that ought to be an assurance of every man of God that preaches the gospel, that he's got something positive from God that'll back him up what he preaches. If you haven't got it, brethren, it's for you. Amen. Amen. If you need something from God, he will back you up. He came to the well in the evening time. We know that this is the evening time message. We know that this is the evening time word of God. He said, now it come a time when Eliezer had to make another decision. He had to make a decision whether he would trust his own opinion of the woman. Hello. There's a lot of people making their own opinion about the bride. Who are you going to believe? The so-called preachers? So-called pastors? Who are you going to believe? You're going to wait for some man to give you the decision, or are you going to believe that God sent a prophet already? You're going to believe God said already sent, thus saith the Lord. Listen, friends, there's a lot of people that's trying to use their own opinion of this woman. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people voicing their opinion about the bride of Jesus Christ today. But the bride of Jesus Christ knows where she stands. She knows why she believes it. And what she's looking for is rapturing faith to take her out of here to meet her bridegroom. So don't listen to all the opinions of the preachers. Listen to the voice of God and let God speak, thus saith the Lord to you. If you go on the internet, you're going to hear a lot of negative things about this message and about your cult pastor and all these different kind of things. What are you going to believe? What called you to this? He had to make a decision whether he would trust his own opinion of the woman or would he trust God's opinion of the woman. Who are you going to trust? I'm going to trust the prophet. Amen. Amen. I'm going to trust the messenger. Amen. What did he come with? Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Eliezer made the decision that the angel would go before him. So if the angel went before him, then he had nothing to fear. What are we afraid of? We should be afraid of nothing. The world, our government is making more and more laws against this Bible than ever before. This government is so full of nasty-minded people. They're not being ruled with God's anointing. They're being ruled by the anointing of the Antichrist spirit, of the spirit of the devil, because my Bible says that all this government, and according to the prophet, that all this government is of the devil. So who are you going to vote for? Which liar are you going to vote for? The one that tells the best lies is the one that's going to be the president. I'm not going to preach politics, but you better pay attention to what you're doing. And it was in the evening time when he came to the well near the city. And it was about that time that Rebekah had to make a decision. Now Rebekah's going to make a decision. I believe the angel of the Lord beat him there about a half hour. For he will send his angels before you, then makes the way clear. And it must have been the angel of God that spoke to Rebekah's heart, said, go get the water. Amen. The angel of the Lord's putting a thirst, a desire in this little bride-to-be. She's thirsting. She's desiring. Something's going to happen. Oh, I must go get some water. The angel of the Lord now has moved on her spirit, and she says, it's time to go get the water. Hallelujah. My dad, through all the years, one of the most favorite things I always loved about what he would say, he says, if God speaks on one end, he said, he'll speak on the other end also. Amen. God speaks on both ends. Amen. So if God had already spoken to Eliezer, that means there had to be a response to what he told Eliezer to respond. So when he spoke to Eliezer, then there had to be something to respond to what Eliezer was going to pray. God already knew what Eliezer was going to pray. God already knew how Eliezer was going to respond. But God had to let Eliezer do the praying. God wants you to do the praying, friend. God wants you to get on your knees sometimes and cry out. This man was in desperation. Lord, there's a lot of women around here, but I want to have the right one. And what did he do before he even finished praying? How about you? How about it? Has it ever happened to you? I've had it happen. Before you even finish praying, God answered the prayer. He starts praying, Lord, when I ask the woman when she comes to the well, when I ask her for a drink of water, and she gives me a drink of water, and she offers to water my camels without me asking her, let that be the woman. Brother, the first one shows up. She didn't even know what was happening, but something was moving inside of her soul. And as she moved towards the well, and Eliezer sees her coming, he doesn't know who she is. He just says, Lord, be it according to your word. And before he can finish even praying, the Bible said he prayed in his heart. He was not out there making a scene. Your altar is in your heart. Eliezer was at his altar. The Bible says, as he prayed in his heart. Listen, friends, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This man began to pray from the abundance of his heart, and before he could finish praying, he must have been praying with his eyes open at that point. Lord, how many has ever prayed with your eyes open? If you're driving, you better have your eyes open. Brother, he was standing there, and he's praying, Lord, this woman that will give me a drink of water, let her be the one. Here she is. Let me test her. Let me just speak the word. Eliezer steps forward and says, young lady, could I have a drink of water? Probably could tell he'd traveled a long distance. Probably had dust and dirt all over him, feet dirty. Walking in where all the animals walked. She said, yes, my Lord. She gives him a drink of water and says, I'll water your camels. I can imagine there might have been a dust storm about that time because Eliezer might have got so excited. He might have got a little Pentecostal. He might have said, let me shake the dust off my feet. This is the right place for me to be. It's a holy ground. Brother, something was all over the man. He knew that God had answered his prayer. He wasn't no longer afraid. He said the angel would go before him. And as he spoke the word, he said, whose daughter are you? And she began to tell him. He knew then. He said, evidently he'd heard Abraham talk about his family. That he left. And he went. He said, oh. Can you imagine the tingling he had? People's afraid of the tingling. Let the tingle come. Let the emotion come. It's all right. Let the presence of God get on you. Say hallelujah once in a while. Thank you, Lord. You've answered my prayer. It's all right to let something happen in your body once in a while. And when he began to speak the word of God, oh, it just went right to his heart. And he said, oh, where do you live? Can we come spend the night? I mean, this is God's getting real. Hey, can we come spend the night? You got room for me and my 10 camels and all my servants? Well, yeah. Why? Something in Rebecca was responding to the call that God had put inside of her. Brother, she might not have been praying for years, but just about 30 minutes before Eliezer showed up, something came over her. Something began to speak to her. Oh, there's something going on today. I feel a strange movement in my life. And God comes in and begins to reveal himself to this woman. Brothers and sisters, is that what God did to you? Just little by little, he began to reveal himself to you. He begins to tell her all these things. So why did Rebecca make that sudden move? Why did she go to the waters of life so quickly? Why could the angel speak to her? Because she was a blood relation to Isaac. She could feel the pull. She could feel the connection. And maybe when, it doesn't even say that Eliezer ever told her his name. Not in this portion of the scripture. Never, never once called his name. He didn't say, I'm Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, my master. It doesn't say that. He talks about the master. My master Abraham. And she's probably going, oh, it's my uncle. Oh, he's my uncle. I haven't heard from him. I never met him. I never met him. But I heard about him. You never met Jesus, but you heard about him. Yeah. Amen. She didn't know who Isaac was, but now she's hearing about him. And what she was hearing was causing her to believe that there's somebody waiting on the other side. Glory to God. When Eliezer was giving out the message, it began to draw on one person. And that one person said, I must needs go see this man. Hallelujah. Why? Because the angel had already spoke to her in a way. Because she was blood relation to Isaac. And that's who the angel can speak to tonight, is a blood relation. By the blood, we are born into the body of Christ. Rebecca was Isaac's own cousin by both fathers, which made them blood relations. But we're blood relations tonight, not because you're black and yellow and green and blue or whatever we are, but we're blood relations because we're born by the same power, by the same Spirit, by the same Holy Ghost. It's God that looks down and says, ye are all my bride tonight. And he spoke to you, and that's what draws you to the word of the hour, because it's so different from the Baptist message or the Seventh-day message. It's something that God has given that the world cannot grip. When he went to Sodom, the messengers went down there. There was two messengers who went to Sodom, but one didn't go to Sodom. He stayed with the anointed. Brother Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, they were sent down to the Sodomites and all these different things. But William Branham, just a little nobody, where the revelation spun off of, where the revival spun off of, all these different things spun off of. He was an unknown name to a lot of people, but Oral Roberts took the message where Brother Branham was doing the healing and different ones, T.L. Osborne, and they began to take what Brother Branham was doing and they started imitating what Brother Branham did, and they got high, mighty mountains, you might say, or big places, and they began to do what Brother Branham was doing, but Brother Branham never did that. He stayed low. He kind of stayed out of sight. And the Lord dealt with him in a special way. Just give me a few more minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why she responded to this? Because she was ordained to eternal life. You know why you respond to this message? You're ordained. You're ordained to eternal life. Eternal salvation comes through and by the word of the living God. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. If the spirit of God doesn't come, all the might that you have means nothing to God. What happened? The message stirred her. Has the message ever stirred anybody? Well, yeah, it stirred me many times. Without anybody around me, that's some of the greatest times I ever have. Just sitting there, me and the Lord and the Spirit of God just moving, reading this Word of God, and something moves us. The angel of the Lord leading her. Then she was stirred, and immediately when she was watered the camel, the gift went on her. The anointing, if you don't mind me saying it this way, the anointing that was on Eliezer somehow got a hold of this girl. The Bible. Brother Branham said that the anointing went on her. Hallelujah. And when you believe this message, let me tell you something. Just the same way that this Bible was written by inspired men of God, you've got to get the inspiration of that Bible. And just as Brother Branham was anointed to bring the message of the hour, you got to get the anointing of the blessing of God that came to Brother Branham the same way. It doesn't make you the prophet, but it makes you to understand that you've been called by a voice that God has redeemed his people today. And she says yes and amen because she knows I heard a voice that stirred my heart. That's what's going on inside the message today. The demons are mad. Is anybody glad? Hallelujah. Take that one, devil. The power of God is moving in a little group today, friend, and she's going to stand on thus saith the Lord, regardless of all the trash they can find. Immediately when she watered the camel, the gift went on her. You know what the first thing he said he did? Give her earrings. And then our prophet said, you don't wear earrings. But the type was, he said it was to show that the ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. You hide that in the Bible. People don't see it. Prophet comes along, begins to preaching. He says, you don't cut your hair like the people of the world. You don't dress like the people of the world. You don't wear earrings like. He says, what you see them doing, you do opposite. You know why? Because we are opposition. We are opposition to the devil. We're opposition to his lies, to his evil spirits. Brothers and sisters, turn him down. He began to take out those earrings. He said, faith cometh by hearing. What did he do? He got her ready. You know what he did? Now, don't take this the wrong way. The prophet is ministering to the bride. Okay? Prophet's ministering to the bride. She's of age. Bible said she's of age. When he was ministering to the bride, and she got before the denomination, her father, her mother, and her brother. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Every how you want to splice it, they try to make it that way, but that's not how it is. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They came into her, said, why don't you stay a little bit longer? She goes, no. No. I've heard the word. I've been stirred by the voice of the messenger. He's already prepared me to meet my lover. And I can't wait any longer. Because why? They said, well, you know, let's do this. He said, well, let's just ask her. The parents said, let's just ask her. And when the parent says, do you want to go or you want to stay? She said, by all means, I want to go. Something spoke to me. It changed me in a moment, in a thought, in a twinkling of an eye, you might say. She had a change and nothing could stop her. She goes, I'm going. But you don't know this man. And you don't know the man you're going to meet. But somehow because of the testimony. The testimony. What did he do? He came into the house. They said, let's just sit down and start eating. He says, no. He says, we got to do the will of the Lord first. Let me tell you my mission. He tells them, thus saith the Lord. They could not deny that God had not done something. The denominations cannot deny that God has done something with this message. The people of the world cannot deny that God has done something with this word of God that we've got. This prophet that we got, he said, the United States is busted. He said, they'll never get out of it. He said, oh, that's old news. No, it's still in the news. He says, who owns America's debt? You know how much debt we're in? Trillions. It says the United States has $12.9 trillion in debt here. China has $1.3 trillion of debt of ours over there. China has $1.1 trillion of debt in Japan. Other countries have $3.8 trillion of our debt. Do you think we're in debt? We got serious problems. And I don't care what Mr. Trump says. He ain't even got enough billions to fix the trillions. He ain't got enough lies to tell these people to change the debt process. There's none of them can get in there because thus saith the Lord said, this United States is bankrupt. We're just sitting here watching. But the message had stirred Rebecca. She was satisfied the message was from God. How many Rebeccas we got here tonight? Come on, Rebecca. Come on, Rebecca. How many Rebeccas we got here that this message is good enough? This word is enough for me. Brother, but the message had stirred Rebecca. She was satisfied the message was from God. Was the message from Elijah or from God? Or Eliezer or from God? It was from God through Eliezer. So you know what that made it? I mean, that's what it made it. It made the message and the messenger one. God found a servant he could trust. And that's who he said, I'm going to speak for. And outside of him speaking, thus saith the Lord, there will not be another message coming. There was not another messenger to come along and try to tell Rebecca, now Rebecca, you know, he said a lot of good things and, you know, he met you down by the well. But don't you think he was a little bit emotional when that happened? If you met God and you heard this message, you said, uh-uh, because I heard him speak to me. How about you? Have you heard God speak to you? If God spoke to you, then devil, get out of the way. Because this bride is free and free indeed. Hallelujah. God spoke so many things to our prophet. Let me just close up here just a minute. He said, what kind of an effect has the message made on you? Are you ready to say, I will go? I will arise and go to Jesus? Will you embrace me in his arms? Because Rebecca heard a message that caused her to embrace a man she'd never seen. She embraced the words of a man because here's Eliezer saying, look here, little lady. My master has all of this gold. He's got all of this land. He's got all the wealth you want in the world. And he's going to give it to the man that I'm telling you about to be your husband. He's been adopted. He acts the way the Father wants him to act. He speaks the way the Father wants him to speak. And when they were coming back, when they were getting back closer where it was, there was a man out in the field. You know what he was doing out there? He wasn't playing horseshoes. He wasn't playing volleyball. The Bible said he was meditating. A real man of God is meditating. Lord, how will it be? I'm expecting my bride to show up any time now. And Isaac's out there, and all of a sudden he sees a camel train coming. Brother, he knows that there's Eliezer. He knows that there was maybe 10 servants, and now there's 11 people that showed up, plus a harem. What in the world? He must have found my bride. He must have found the one I'm looking for. Give me just a few minutes, I'm going to shut off. Brother, as they were coming close, what did she do? She asked the prophet, who is this? Who is this? And the prophet described him in such detail that when he was standing and his garment was blowing in the wind, he called him by name. He said, Jesus. And when he turned and looked at the prophet, he knew that was the one. And when she got close to him, she delighted. She jumped off the camel and ran to meet him. And she jumped right into his arms. Why? Because she knew who he was. And Isaac knew who she was, even though he didn't know her name, possibly. I'll tell you one thing. If he's called you, he'll give you the right name. She might have come around and says, oh, my Lord. He said, you are my sweetheart. I can hear it in your voice. I know that you've been told all about me. So come on over here. I've got something for you. Amen. The Bible says he took her away to his mother's tent. Hallelujah. And made sure she was the wife. Listen, friends, one day, before too long, I was talking to my eldest son the other day, and he was telling me, he says, Dad, just something's just eating at me. He said, I just feel like I'm just right there. He said, I don't know whether to scream, to jump, to holler. He says, I don't know. He says, I feel the strangest pull now. He said, something's happening to me. He said, God is doing something. He says, I don't know. He says, we need some work, some orders at work to give us some work to do. He said, just pray that we'll get enough to keep us until he takes us home. I said, you got it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there ought to be an urgency. Amen. Rebecca got an urgency. She heard the message. She didn't wait for another decision. She didn't wait for 10 days. The next day, she said, that was my call. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when you hear the voice of God, that's your call. Don't sit back and try to figure out if it was God or not. Listen to the voice of God and let him begin to lead you and to guide you. He will not tell you nothing wrong. He'll tell you the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you'll be free to serve God. The musicians can come. Hallelujah. Just in closing, come on, musicians. Just in closing, God did something to this word for us. I want to read a couple more little quotes as I'm closing here. Now, this is Brother Branham. He's not tooting his own whistle. Listen to me very carefully. You got to listen to this by the voice of God. Not the voice of William Branham, not the voice of Mike Walls, but the voice of God. He said, I want to say this. I've never said it before, but according to Scripture, according to what he said 33 years ago, on the river down there, in 1933 rather. Remember, it was 1933, he was baptizing. I believe it was the 17th person. Brother George Martin said, when you got to 17, what did he say? System change. When he was baptizing the 17th person, he said, the angel of the Lord came down. He said, what he said, everything has happened just exactly. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun his first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See, so it's paralleled in every way, and I know it will. The message will go on. Whether the critics like it or not, whether you can withstand the devils or not, if you've been caught by thus saith the Lord, The urgency's there. You've got something from God, a revelation that you connected with yourself. The devil can't take it from you. He says he was walking to a service one night. I believe it was in Texas, possibly. He said, I think it was the first night when I was walking on the platform, someone raised up in the building, way back in the back, and spoke with tongues, like a machine gun firing. And he had no more than sat down just a moment or two till one raised up on the platform and gave the interpretation. And I stopped at what he said, and I said to the man, do you know this man? He said, no, sir. And he said, I said, how do you come here? He said, the people that I work for was here tonight, and they brought me. He was a cowboy. And I said, what do you do? He said, do you know him? He said, no, sir. I never seen him. He's talking to the two men now, the one way back in the back, standing up giving a message in tongues, and somebody on the platform raises up and interprets what's said in tongues. And it stops Brother Branham in his tracks. He said, and I said, what are you? He said, I'm a merchant in the city. And what they said, he said, now I was always, before I learned better, I was a little skeptic of speaking in tongues. I thought a lot of it was flesh, and it might be. But when this was said, I want you to listen to this. But when this was said, that interpretation was exactly what the angel of the Lord said down on the river 11 years before that. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you're sent to forerun the second. Like it or not, he said it. I like it. I believe it. It's thus saith the Lord. Friend, you got to know why you believe this message. I believe this message has got rapturing faith laying inside of it. And until God calls me home, this is what I'm going to preach about. This is where God turned me to. This is what set my soul on fire. I take nothing away from Brother Branham. He was God's voice to us for this day, whether you like it or not. He said that. The first time he said it, he said, oh, you resented that. The second time he said it, he said, the Lord told me to say it. He said, I'm God's voice to you. Listen, if he's God's voice to you, then why are you not hearing the voice? And why is the revelation? If she, Rebecca, heard Eliezer's voice, then why can't you hear a prophet's voice? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're here to do. Follow the word of God. The revelation, you've still got to have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You still got to speak the revelation of God, or you're never going to get the message yourself anyway. You cannot get this message except by revelation by the Holy Ghost. When the revelation comes, it teaches you how to love, how to forgive, and how to keep going forward and prepare for the rapture's coming. Don't fool with this stuff. God don't want his bride like Abraham didn't want his son to get a bride in the mess they were around. He allowed us to come to this area of the world for a reason. You're here. Listen, friends, you're not here to please me or to please anybody else. You're here to please Jesus Christ. And how you're going to please Jesus Christ is hear the voice that he sent to you in this last age. And understand that God did that for a reason, because everybody don't hear the same thing. Even though they sit in the churches, we preach from the message. We can preach all day long. But if you don't get the inspiration by why it came, you're never going to survive Laodicea spirit. It corrupts your mind. Don't fight the message or the messenger. God has set it in place. Can anybody say amen? Amen? You afraid to say amen? Amen. Brother, God's done something. Amen. We're here because thus saith the Lord has spoken. Amen. This was not just a man's message. This was the message from God. Amen. He just happened to trust a certain person that he could believe in. And he said what he's doing is he's looking for a bride that he also can believe in. Amen. A woman he can trust not to dilly-dally around and mess with other messages or other men, but to stay in line with his word. How about you, friend? How about you? You got to stand for Jesus Christ, or you'll be afraid to make a stand when the devil comes. How many is going to stand with me in the word? Amen. Amen. Brother Branham did not take away the fivefold ministry. He said, they asked him, should we keep preaching or no? He said, by all means, keep preaching. He did not say, stay home and listen to the tapes. He said, get behind a God-called pastor. And what did he say? He'll see you through. He'll lead you through. Brother, if we can't say the truth, then get out. Find another pastor. Find another messenger. But this is what I see, and this is what I'm going to preach. Sisters, we're not here to preach something so pretty that you say, oh, I love it because it's so wonderful. And he said we had to do it that way. No. You got to love it because you've seen something in the Word. Amen. Just like Rebecca did. Rebecca seen something that her parents couldn't keep her away from it. Don't let any slick-tongued boy, any slick-tongued young man, coo you, sway you into a dark shadow somewhere. If he really loves you, like he says he loves the Lord, he won't do that. If he ever says, oh, you don't really love me, maybe you should just slap him upside the head and say, you're right, devil, I don't. If Eve would have slapped the serpent, things would have been different. But it didn't happen that way. And I'm not saying to you, sisters, you got permission to go around slapping these boys. Okay? But if he ever says, you ain't a real woman and you ain't doing this, you better say that's the voice of a serpent. Can the girls say amen? Amen. Come on. Sisters, can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. As a father of four children, three boys and a girl, I pinched off the devil as much as I knew how. I didn't do the best, but I pinched him off as much as I could. They had chaperones. Oh, but Brother Mike, they were of age. Yeah, but to protect them and their morals, they're still flesh. Okay? It won't hurt you to take the third person. Okay? I believe in the Trinity. The right way. It sounds funny, but you'll be blessed if you take the Trinity with you on that one. How many of the fathers could say amen? You take that Trinity. You let some guy get with your daughter, you better have a third member sitting there with them. Watch out. That devil has no mercy. And don't send a little kid. They'll bribe the little kid. Send somebody that can tell what's happening. Okay? It wasn't in my message, but you got it anyway. Stand up. I wasn't trying to be funny, but it's truth. That's the kind of Trinity I believe in. Protect your sons. Protect your daughters. You say, but my sons. Yeah, your son's just as flesh as you are, sir. Don't you remember when you got married? Your son's just as much flesh. Sister, your daughter's just as much flesh as you are. You know about that emotion? teacher at home. Sisters, teach your daughters at home about that emotion. They need to hear about it. That way we can stop the devil before he makes a big mess in your family. Amen. Just play something softly, Sister Cindy. Hallelujah. Lord, you sent that angel about 30 minutes ahead of Eliezer. Rebecca caught the spirit of the messenger. Maybe as she approached the well, she didn't even realize what was going on. But I believe because she was raised in the right kind of home, she had respect to her elder. That this man began to speak to Almighty God. You want God to answer your prayers, you speak to God. Let God begin to speak. And as he begins to speak, he will tell the message to those that he's chosen. Lord, come be with us today. Help us, Lord, to recognize the pull that the enemy has. Oh God, stop him before he deceives our young people. Stop him before he causes an issue. Lord, we ask it tonight. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, may it be so tonight. May it be so, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me warn you before I dismiss. If any of you young people, you decide you like somebody and you want to get married at some point, before you make a vow and get yourself messed up, talk to your parents. Talk to me, your pastor. Don't let something happen in your life. Warning before judgment. You make the biggest mistake of your life to promise yourself to somebody, you're going to get in big trouble. Don't let the devil trick you this way. Honor your father and mother in this life, and God will extend your life. You disobey him, and he will shorten your life. May the Lord help us as we continue on. The enemy's out to get every one of us. Young or old, he doesn't matter. He doesn't care. Let the Lord deal with your heart. Just beyond the veil, I long to see your face. I long to see your beauty there. Just beyond the veil, oh, just beyond the veil, I long to see your face. I long to see your beauty there. Just mighty God, you are. Mighty God, you are. Mighty God, you are. Mighty God, you are. Oh, just beyond the veil. pray quietly for a moment. I want to read one more quote to you. Brother Branham was preaching and he made this comment. He said, I say this, that I believe that this great spirit that's among us is the Holy Spirit. I believe that he called me for this purpose. Does it make me any more than the man that got saved this morning? Just your servant, your brother. Makes me less than you because I'm sent to serve you. I am a servant to the public. A public service is a minister. To serve the public, to be the underdog, to take this knocks and brawls of the public. Whatever it is, stand there. And if you haven't got grace enough to smile and take it, then you ought to go back to Calvary and reconfirm your commission. That's what you're supposed to do now. Remember, Eliezer was a servant. He went searching for the bride. A servant's heart. He told all about the master. He didn't tell about himself. He told what the master was looking for and how that he was obeying the master. He never talked about himself. And that's when I realized Eliezer's name was never mentioned in the whole chapter of Genesis 24. It wasn't about him. It was about the bride bringing to her bridegroom. But it was about a prophet obeying the master in every aspect. It's all in there. Don't misunderstand me. It's all in there. That prophet didn't boast of himself. He boasted of what the master had and what she could have. Listen, friends, if you need something, God's got everything you need. God's got everything you need. And he's willing to give it to you through Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. You're dismissed. Just beyond the veil, I long to see your face.